Blog Talk Radio.
Government.
Turn that down. Hello, welcome to the show. I have my guest on live right now. I'll bring him right on.
This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing tonight?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for coming on. I know it's a crazy time news-wise, as it seems to always be, but now with everything going on with Libya and Wisconsin and union battles and all that kind of stuff, I know you guys are really cranking out a lot of articles and a lot of journalistic pieces. So thank you for taking the time to speak to my audience tonight.
It's my pleasure.
So tell us, well, first, if you can kindly introduce yourself to my audience. To those that don't know you, they will obviously at the end of the show. And those that do know you, get to understand more about you.
Yeah, I'm the media reporter for the Daily Caller. It's a web-based publication. Kind of track trends in the media and look at, like, what the talking heads are talking about, and just try to watch a lot of TV so a lot of people don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Now, I read through a lot of your pieces. I like the Daily Caller. I think you guys expose a lot of different things, like the journalist scandal.
Right.
First of all, talked about a lot of time. Nobody really believed him, I think, for a while. And then Glenn Beck started talking about it, and you guys brought it back into the spotlight and said, here you go, tell me it doesn't exist now. And I think that was really amazing, because even myself, I knew the media colluded to change stories and things like that, but I never knew just the extent of it and who exactly was behind it. Tell us more about when you guys exposed that and the reaction you got from the mainstream media.
Well, this was about a year ago. This is, predates me at the Daily Caller, but I can tell you a little bit about it. That, well, you know, there was the rumors of this listserv with a lot of liberal journalists, a lot of liberal political operatives, but also some more of the mainstream journalists, some people that work at Politico, The Hill, NPR, places that are supposed to be objective and not biased. And there was this rumor going around town, and you know, that it was run by Ezra Klein, and the... Eventually, they denied the existence, but eventually they Ezra Klein, he's a Washington Post reporter now. At the time, he was a think tank guy. But eventually they came around and admitted that there was this, but you had to be of a certain political persuasion to be on it. And then some of these journalist messages on this listserv got out, and it showed some real disturbing things in the media, especially during the 2008 presidential campaign, the way they were going to paint McCain, play the race card when necessary, and you know, a lot of things that you don't expect to see from mainstream media people. And we were able to kind of expose that and show what was going on there. And that effectively ended that listserv, the journalist. But, you know, there's probably other ones that have cropped back up.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sean Hannity was proclaiming in 2008, 2009 that journalism is dead. I've been saying that for a lot sooner before that, and a lot more people are starting to say, they're starting to realize that, hey, you know, you're either not reporting on the story or you're telling us, and something that deserves 5 minutes is really presented as either fluff or is a 10-second piece and doesn't do it justice. For example, Acorn situation, and Glenn Beck chronicled and cataloged how little of attention that got. Planned Parenthood scandal that's actually still kind of going on. Barely got any kind of pub on mainstream media. Do you agree to that journalism is dead, or is it just in the correction period and it's just that people are wanting for more of an opinion commentary type of broadcast instead of the facts?
Well, I think it's in a transitional phase for sure. I don't think, you know, the way a story used to happen, you know, you used to have a lot of newspaper reporters, and you used to have these massive old-school dinosaur kind of newspapers like The Post and The Times, you know, and they would hire up all these reporters so they could do more and more of this. But as, you know, as we come into this digital age, you're getting less and less of that. And what I'm finding, or what seems to be the trend to me probably over the last 10 years, is where they're cutting back, a lot of the ideology comes into play. So you mentioned things like the Acorn scandal and the Planned Parenthood thing. And, you know, those would be certainly ideological-based kind of stories, I think. But whereas there might have been a time when you might have seen that kind of story, you know, in a in a main a mainstream media outlet. You know, even the broadcast networks had these bureaus all over the world, or you know, they could do more stories, and that would leave those options. But now you're finding that now that it's kind of whittled away and gotten smaller. Where they're cutting back is they're going after that kind of stuff, and they're giving us. I think now the thing is there's more. There's more into this punditry kind of journalism that people are interested in. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's dead, but I think we're kind of in a transitionary phase with the internet. More and more people can you know, do their own journalism, or you have web startups like the Daily Caller come along. I mean, the Huffington Post, I remember for years, was really unique in that regard. You know, even though they had a left-wing slant, they it was kind of an idea that you could do something like this, and you're spreading it out. You don't just have a few people from the elite universities like the Columbia School of Journalism, you know, the Ivy League schools that are really dictating what kind of stories or what kind of themes are going out. So yeah, you know, I'm not ready to declare journalism dead just yet.
Do you think that because Newsweek was on sale? I'm not sure if it's still on sale. I think Time Magazine is going on this in transition with, or Time Inc. is going on a transition with their top guy was too, he was evangelicalizing too much, and I think that was something about his faith, and he was just bringing in faith too much, and they're looking to get rid of him. MSNBC, that arm of the GE Corporation, NBC Corporation, was for sale. Do you think that the future, that there's any future for these organizations? Because we just saw AOL Time Warner purchase Huffington Post, and then there was an article, I believe it was there yesterday, that I saw, where they're going to be building around Huffington Post instead of absorbing the Huffington Post, using their readership and audience and changing it a little bit. You know, they're just building around the base of Huffington Post.
Well, Newsweek was for sale, and you know, this will tell you a lot about Newsweek. It got sold for $1, which is less than the cost of an issue of Newsweek. But it sold to $1, and now they're part of the Daily Beast.
So okay. The
Daily Beast and Newsweek have sort of merged, and that should tell you the direction of that, because the Daily Beast is really one of these newer kind of startups. Time Magazine, I think Time Magazine will always be around in some fashion or form, just because it's one of those things, like, it may not have a big circulation, it may have a big staff, but it may just be a shell of itself. But there'll always be that. It has a brand name that will help it survive. You know, MSNBC recently, they're no longer part of GE. They were gobbled up. The NBC Universal, all the NBC stations, that includes USA, CNBC, MSNBC, some of their other cable outlets, they were absorbed into Comcast. And I think that says something else that you got to look at. Instead of you having these corporations, these they're like diversified corporations like Time Warner was, you know, that had a little bit of everything. I think you're seeing where these cable outlets are, instead of product being marketed toward, like, our product being like a part of, you know, just a diverse thing, cable outlets want to they want to provide content instead of just be a gateway for that outlet. I think you'll see more of that in the future. But who's to say what's going to happen with MSNBC? I mean, you saw that Keith Olbermann's no longer with that network. Was this some part of the Comcast thing? It's cheaper for a big cable company like Comcast. It's in lots of homes. Rather than have to pay, like, you know, per household to show people in MSNBC, just to own it themselves and provide that content themselves. So maybe you're seeing a switch from this. You're seeing more of this where these media companies are sort of combining to become something more, you know, where it's all more interactive. Part of it's internet, part of it's, you know, all the packages that Comcast offers. And I think this is just another effort. And you could say the same with AOL gobbling up the Huffington Post. But like you said, I think the Huffington Post idea is something kind of new. AOL had its own little political arm for a while, for years. And, you know, and if you think back, the early days of AOL, I mean, that's where the Drudge Report started. they provided content, but now the content is kind of being built around the provider, I guess, and it's turned inside out. So yeah, you know, the Huffington Post has had a lot of success, and they aren't just news anymore. You look at their site, and it's got a little bit of everything. It's got sports, comedy, or you know, media. It's got a little bit of everything. So maybe that's the direction where people could do one-stop shopping and have all that in one package. I think that's certainly an idea of way things could be going.
Now, the Daily Caller, you said, as you mentioned, it's more of a startup. Tucker Carlson is at the head of it, correct? And he's a guy that the left just doesn't seem to like, and I think he likes it that way. And I think he gets a real kick out of ticking off the left, which is fine, as long as you guys provide the content and back up what you're doing and bring it in a presentable way. You crank out stuff like there's no tomorrow. If people go to your to dailycaller.com/author/Jeff Poor, P-O-O-R, they'll see and they can subscribe to your RSS feed there too. You have a ton of content there, and that's something that a lot of places aren't able to do. You know, somebody like you put out 3-4 different pieces in one day, and even some bigger companies just don't do that. So I think that's really good with the Daily Caller, and you're not the only one. There's others, obviously.
Right.
From your experience, go ahead.
I was gonna say we're trying to combine elements. I think this is the model that we're trying. We're trying to combine elements of everything. I don't know if you're familiar with the site Mediaite. They kind of offer the same thing that I do, except they have a little bit bigger staff, but they're more geared toward a larger audience, and we're geared toward a different kind of audience, I guess. So, you know, maybe the opposite, the mirror image of a Huffington Post reader. You know, and the Huffington Post does some of that, too. But, yeah, we have a certain loyal readership that we do like to cater to, and we're here to make money. So if this is what our readers demand, our viewers demand, then we'll provide it to them, and we'll just keep trying stuff and see what works. And a lot of the content that I think we're able to put out really works for our consumers, and the audience seems to be growing. I mean, we've only been in existence a little over a year, but the site's really taking off, even just in the last 3 months that I've been here.
Yeah. Now, what do you enjoy covering the most at the college, or is it something? Is it something that you want to do that you're not really able to do just yet because you guys are trying to establish yourselves in a different kind of way? So if you can answer that question.
Well, I mean, I came here from the Media Research Center and really was like kind of a media watchdog organization. I don't know if you've heard of Newsbusters. But,
absolutely. I had somebody come down on that.
Right. I was a contributor there and did a lot of daily stories there, a lot like I'm doing here, but instead of looking for media bias where the media is wrong, you want to look for media highlights. You want to look for, like, stuff that people would say, hey, that's a good point, or this is interesting. And, I mean, right now we're still trying to find our way. I mean, I'm willing to go wherever the audience kind of demands, you know, wherever, you know, the demand is. That's what my job ideally is, to provide, like, good content. Now, eventually, you know, you want to break some bigger stories, and that's always in the back of a career journalist. But you know, right now we're still trying to find what works and try different things, and I think we're having a good run at it, and just give it some more time, and we'll really be hopefully be hopping along here.
What do you make of the Wisconsin situation? And obviously, editorialize your answer, but first off, do you think that Governor Walker is doing the right thing, or do you think that the collective bargaining thing is too hot, too much of a hot potato to deal with at the moment?
No, I mean, really, and I watched this stuff all day long, just trying to look for trends and the way it's being covered by the news media, and it seems to me that this is what the people of Wisconsin kind of voted for. Now, this is what Walker ran on, and the way it's being sold to a lot of people is that this governor wants to take away their right to collective bargain. Well, I don't necessarily think that's the case. What this governor wants to do, he wants to take away is the state, using the state payroll system to collect union dues, giving them back to the unions, which will turn around and use that money that they collected for the unions from state employees to fuel like other campaigns against these same people. And this is what he ran on, and this is why unions in all over the country, these state unions, these local unions, have such a stranglehold on these municipalities. And that's why there's a lot of, I think, a lot of these fiscal situations. And you look at the right-to-work states, they're not necessarily as bad a shape as some of these unionized states where they're just so embedded into the culture or the politics. But the way it's being covered, if you turn on MSNBC, you would be, I think, if you any outlet on the left, even sometimes on CNN, which seems to be kind of in the middle sometimes, a little left of center, that there's some kind of civil rights indiscretion going here, that they're trying to take away their right to organize. And I don't think that's the case at all. They're not saying you can't have a union. They just say don't expect the state government to play an administrative role in it. And there's a lot of that getting lost in the shuffle, I think, with this Wisconsin stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you make of the rhetoric being used? Because we're supposed to have a more civil tone, and then Obama and the administration started coming out immediately and adjusting themselves into this situation, which I always think is bad from a presidential aspect, because maybe I'm more of a traditionalist or an originalist, but this is a state issue, and you're really not supposed to declare your opinions and your statements. You're supposed to lead, and that's your position. But the Massachusetts congressman, the SEIU new theme song that Glenn Beck played today, it's encouraging violence. It's fomenting anger. What do you make of this?
Well, to the early part of your question about Obama's role in this, he's kind of backed away. He shied away a lot, and that's a big knock from a lot of people on the left. Why isn't Obama using the bully pulpit? Stand up for these people, you know, and talk about why collective bargaining is important. And just coming across this clip, it's kind of been circulating the internet the last couple of days, but I actually found a video. And Obama is campaigning in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I'll just read you the real quick snippet from it. He told this Converse College, and it's back in November of 2007, if American workers are being denied the right to organize and collectively bargain, when I'm in the White House, I'll put on a comfortable pair of shoes myself. I'll walk that picket line with you. That's the President of the United States of America. So he actually campaigned on the idea that he was going to defend union rights and the idea to collectively bargain. And I don't, you know, like I said, he's made one really, really bombastic statement. But since then, he and his new press secretary, Jay Carney, have really shied away from this. And they know that Wisconsin could go either way in this election coming up. But look for this clip. This clip ought to be making the rounds tomorrow, I would imagine. I've seen it on MSNBC once tonight, and I'm surprised we haven't seen it more. But him actually saying that he would be out there with the people fighting for collective bargaining rights. But as for this, the Massachusetts Congressman Capiano, or I believe that's his name, he's walked that back too about sometimes you got to get bloody. He said he misspoke, and that's to be expected. But could you imagine if this had been Michelle Bachmann that said that? It would be on the nightly news. It would be run over and over and over again on MSNBC. It would be on ABC, CBS, all the morning shows. We would hear it nonstop. So, yeah, I think that is a textbook example of what media bias is in this country right now.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And Jeff Ford from The Daily Caller, thank you so much once again for coming on. People can check out dailycaller.com. And to check out Jeff in particular, although you see his content all over the site, it's dailycaller.com/authors/Jeff Ford. And once again, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about The Daily Caller, telling us about what you do and your efforts and the media slant. Thank you so much.
All right, well, thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.